Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I'm so glad you're hanging in there. We have a great guest with us. We have a veterinary student and her name is Stacy Thomas. She's the first year veterinary student at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Welcome, Stacy.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, thank you. It's an honor to have you. And I love talking to veterinary students. Everyone has a little bit of a different story or kind of a background. And what I love to the listeners, by the way, I don't know necessarily what the background is with Stacy. So I'm going to be finding out the first time with our listeners. So I love this. So talk to me a little bit, Stacy. Tell me a little bit about your backstory and how you got into veterinary medicine.
Sure. It's a bit of a winding road. It is not a straight shot in comparison to many of my classmates. The first thing is that this will be a second career. So I am starting vet school at the young age of 43 after having a very exciting career in the world of human medicine in various realms.
Amazing. My jaw's dropped.
Well, you know, I'll be looking at 46 when I graduate, and that's okay. I don't feel like that is a bad thing. I'm enjoying my 40s immensely.
Absolutely. Welcome to the 40s. And I always say this, you're never too old for education. No one is. So
I think education keeps us alive.
Yes, that's fantastic. So what is that like? How is it for you?
You know, It's a mixed bag of everything I thought it would be and nothing like I thought it would be. The expectations that I came coming in, of course, leaned heavily towards an understanding of the rigorous academics and the demand that it would place on my personal life.
Yes, yes.
So some of those expectations have been proven to be estimated well, and then some of them I grossly underestimated. I.e. the copious amounts of coffee I am consuming and the lack of sleep, late night studying, but also just trying to figure out how to balance life outside of school while still feeling like I'm at the very minimum treading water and not drowning. As you are very familiar,
yes.
That school is like consuming information with a fire hose.
Yes.
So this first semester, it felt just like that. There was a lot of information thrown at us, and it's been fantastic so far. We just took our very first exam right before I jumped on this call with you, and we're all very relieved that first portion is over.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. And the other parts that I was not anticipating, you know, I think many of us probably sit in this category. Didn't anticipate going to vet school during a pandemic and having to adjust to learning environments like, you know, creating a bedroom into a permanent study and conducting classes here, taking exams here, etc. But it's working out really well. The school is doing a fantastic job of mitigating and accommodating in every way. Labs have been in person, so that's been super great. No. It's been really fun so far.
It's so fascinating. So what made you make the change to come from the human side over to the veterinary side?
Well, when I tell this story, I always feel like it's a cliche, but it is the truth. And that decision was made way back in 2008, to be honest with you. I did not intend to wait until 2020 to start vet school. But the impetus for that shift was an incident on a New Year's Eve. My partner at the time and I were driving to a New Year's Eve party. The people in front of us, it was late at night, so it was dark. The people in front of us hit a dog and they never stopped. And so we were left as, you know, aghast, like, oh my gosh, this dog, we have to stop for this dog. And that created this huge cascade of, oh my gosh, how do I help this dog? Is there someone I can call to get help for this dog? And when we quickly realized, no, there's not an ambulance for dogs, we took the dog ourselves, and thank goodness it has a happy ending. The dog had a full recovery, and he actually had pet parents, so he was not a stray.
Oh.
But that incident it was like a light switch for me. And the drive to fix a problem, i.e., hey, there's nobody to call. Well, somebody should do something about that. So I'll be the somebody to do something about that. So without having any background whatsoever or clue what I was doing, my partner and I started a nonprofit animal ambulance. And of course that led me to realize, okay, I have a lot of things I need to know if I'm going to run an animal ambulance. So I started looking at one of my options. I didn't have the slightest clue what I was doing. I immediately started seeking out schooling. And I first started with the simplest stuff, like let's learn animal first aid and CPR. You know, what is the intention of the ambulance? It's to receive calls to get animals to higher levels of care than what I can provide, just like a human ambulance would. So it progressed into, all right, well, if I know animal first aid and CPR, I should know a little bit more than that. Then I should know a little bit more than that. And it drove me back into university at USF in St. Petersburg, Florida. And it became very apparent, like, no, I should do this the right way. I should just become a vet. So that was the driving factor that one night. And I finished all of my prerequisites with the exception of two back in 2010, I think. And life took a really interesting turn and one that wasn't anticipated. And it drove me further into my already established profession with the human side of things. And I wrestled for 10 years of maybe I should just forget about it. Maybe I just need to leave it on the back burner. Next life, you know, next lifetime, I'll do it.
Right. Yes.
And even though I still maintained a lot of involvement with rescues and volunteering in different capacities with veterinary medicine, the ambulance ran well for a while, but as you can imagine, as a nonprofit, it was really hard to maintain.
Yes.
And that morphed into, all right, I'm just going to, we can sustain teaching animal first aid and CPR while I'm still performing my primary career.
Right.
And then, you know, as life happens, it just kept knocking me off the path. In hindsight now, is with everything, I'm so glad it did. Because the experiences that I've had since 2010 to now, oh my goodness. If I had gone to med school back then, I can't say obviously for certain what would have happened, but I am certainly confident that I'm much better in the seat that I'm in now at 43, having done all sorts of crazy stuff between then and now that prepared me.
I love this. So thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I truly believe that things do happen for a reason. And when you enter this profession, it really is a calling from within, like you're feeling, it's from your heart. And you had that bug for so many years to, should I, and maybe now's not the right time, whatever. And you're actually doing it, which is so incredible. You know,
this was actually my Hail Mary. I was like, okay, I'm going to regret this to the day I die if I don't at least apply.
Yeah. It's like a major bucket list thing for you to do, right? I mean, that's, and we're so, well, we're so happy that you're with us too, because.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I can already tell but you're going to be an amazing veterinarian on top of an incredible career you've had.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot. It's definitely, as you say, a calling of the heart. I am in love with learning about everything that is vet school and everything that I'm learning from peers like yourself.
Yes. Yeah, you're in a great profession. You know, you're surrounded by wonderful colleagues. You always lean on each other, which is great. The social media aspect of veterinary medicine now is really taking off for the better too, where you can really lean on each other, help each other out with questions and, you know, study tactics, any of those kinds of things. So I think that's wonderful. And at the University of Arizona, tell me a little bit about the case-based learning, which is fantastic. That's newer to me.
Yeah, it's new to everybody because this is the inaugural year for the school. I am part of the inaugural class, which also is quite an honor. And
yes,
they've structured the program very uniquely. The first thing that stands out is that it's a three-year program and not a four, which simply means we skip summers. We go straight through and we will graduate as doctors within the 36 months. The way they're delivering the academics is something that drew me to the school right away. And that is a team-based, case-based scenario type of structure. So what that means is we are learning in a cohesive environment of didactics where while we might be learning the heart in anatomy lab, we're also then going to be talking about cardiac function, respiratory function, and all of the ways in which the physiological components complement and interact with that anatomy that we're learning in both case-based discussions and then the team-based discussions, which has really proven to be quite interesting and quite beneficial. I enjoy it very much.
Thank you so much to Stacey Thomas. And if you're looking for more information on her, check her out on Instagram at FarfetchedVetStudent. Thank you so much for tuning in. Always take care of your fur babies, take care of yourself, and stay possum. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.